Now turn to Ephesians 4, verse 17. I'll follow up from Revelation 14, 13, where it is declared from heaven that the ones who are serving Christ and under fiery persecution in that day will be blessed when they die and be with the Lord and their deeds following them. And they have a rest which the wicked do not have, mentioned above, that the wicked do have no rest night or day. And that would make you think, just, and we often do this, why anyone would ever stay apart from the will of God and apart from the favor of God. Why would they ever not, just reject? Why would they ever reject the gospel? And yet it happens a lot, and this helps us here. Verse 17, Ephesians 4. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Let's pray. Or sometimes we don't like the diagnosis of our illness, and certainly, Lord Jesus, when you diagnosed the sin in people, they hated you. But the diagnosis is true. And we have a big imagination when we think that we can escape that which is diagnosed to us from heaven. We pray, Lord, for an understanding in those around us, that their eyes and hearts and minds might be open, because when we pray for people to be saved, we're praying for that, that the natural state be reversed and enlightenment come. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says a couple of places in Proverbs, essentially the same verse, that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is the way of death. So in that particular case, Solomon, noticing humankind, noticing human behavior, while he was counseling his son, noted that there are people who are pretty confident that what they think and do and propose is right. The way they live is right. Their religious beliefs are right. And it's not because of revelation, it's because it seems right. But as we know, Judges tells us, when there was no king in the land, that every man did what was right in his own eyes. That's your imagination. That is your opinion. That is just something that you decide yourself, a personal worldview and philosophy. I think this is the way we ought to live. And so that way people live however they want to live, and it seems right. I mentioned this morning jet planes that have sensors. Well, it just, when you're looking at them, if they're wrong, they seem right. You don't expect them to be wrong. They seem right. So you go with them. If they're faulty, though, that's your demise. There's a big to-do in California about all the wildfires, and also in the Amazon. But in California, when they happened, you may remember back, I think during the summer, they had some wildfires there, and they always do. And, of course, the person who was causing them was the president. He was apparently sneaking out there and lighting the matches. But when they looked into it, and I saw an article the Wall Street Journal had mentioned this, is that the ones who want to save this and not have this happen, they oppose clearing out all kind of brush underneath in the forest. So there's more dried brush under there during a drought, which California has had plenty of late. And also, the government in California, the state government, is forcing the electric companies to spend money on green energy research to try to get to where, you know, green energy, sun, wind, all that, will be a viable source of electricity, which it is not now. If it ever will be, I don't know. In doing that, then, the power company could not spend money. It was $2.2 billion they had to spend on that. Yeah, I guess to be a pretty good bit of money. So they couldn't spend that on normally what power companies would do. They would keep up their equipment. Well, in the course of time, they didn't keep up their equipment as well. A spark came out from one of the towers of fire, the electric wires that run on, and it started the fire. And so an attempt to, you know, save the forest turned out to be that which helped destroy. The same with deforestation. People, oh, we're losing all the forest. It slowed down a good bit. I don't know how they measure these things. But do you know that one of the reasons that forests are expanding in some places is because of something called carbon dioxide? And that there's more of that. You know, there used to be way more than in the past, they say. But the buildup of carbon dioxide, it makes things greener. It makes things warmer. That's just the way the ecosystem works. It's not a poison. You know, carbon's not a poison. It's life. So the trees get greener, and they expand. But, of course, they want that. But on the other side, they want less carbon dioxide. So that, you know, destroys that. They used to bleed people when they were sick. Oh, you got sick. We got to bleed you. Well, of course, bleeding kills you. It does not cure you. And there's many, many things like that, that people do. There's a way that seems right to us, but it's not right, and it ends up in tragedy. So we look at this, and we see there's a spiritual reason for it. It's not that people aren't intellectual and educated. We've got so much education in certain philosophies these days that it's no wonder that kids are astray in their thinking, because the things that are taught, so much is just what seems right at the moment to those who are deciding what should be taught. A lot of things go by the wayside. Well, there's a spiritual dimension. When we don't know the Lord, when we don't respect the Bible, when people by nature go into just man-centered things, education, philosophies of government, how to raise family, all of those things end up not being helpful as they were planning to be. To help the family, to help families in need, the government began a program many years ago to provide financial aid for single parents. And the more babies you had, the more money you got. If you got married, it all stopped. The government was then, under the guise of saving the family, been destroying it for years. This is the way that a spiritual problem gets into society. If we follow the Bible, that spiritual problem doesn't cause that kind of disaster. But it does. So when Paul is speaking to the Ephesians here, at first, in the first part of the chapter, that's the passage on spiritual gifts, how the Lord has provided spiritual gifts for the unification of the body and the building of the body up. The body is built up from each other. And as a result, the things that would normally happen to us if we were not guided by the Word of God and by those that God has given to edify, we would be astray. Look what it says in verse 11. He gave some apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, now notice this, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. We are a rich crop for that without the guidance of God in His Word. So in order to mature, you don't get tossed about and get tricked, and whatever comes along, you don't fly with that. But today people do. But speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That is a healthy product. It's not what seems right to a man, it is what is right in the eyes of God. And so He puts these things into the church till we build each other up. We learn about things that we would not know except by revelation, and we are protected from getting tossed about and following some crazy way. You know, everybody who's following a crazy way started somewhere. They started on day one. And if you were warned off of it, like Solomon does to his son in Proverbs, and like parents do, Christian parents do today, well, you don't have to go down that road. I don't have to face a lot of things that I might have had to face if my parents had not told me this is good and this is not good. And if I had listened to them, of course I didn't listen like I don't care to everything they said. But you know, the smart money is there. So the Lord has set that up so we don't, you know, fall on our faces or wander off. But here's what we are. Here's why people reject Christ. Here's why people come up with new moral standards and why they have disdain for the old standards. Verse 17, this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. By the way, every verse I read in the passage, 17, 18, and 19, are not just rejected by our world system, but they are hostile to it because we're only calling them names. Paul is calling our society without Christ names, and he calls them one right there, that you no longer walk just as the Gentiles. Gentiles, of course, we're all Gentiles, unless you're a Jew. Jews and Gentiles, that's all you got. So Gentiles, by nature, did not know God, because the Jews had the revelation of God. The Gentiles had their own religion. They did their own thing. They burned sacrifices to whatever god they decided there was up there. They made gods from wood, and they made the face the way they imagined that god to look. And so they taught their kids that. Sometimes they sacrificed their kids thinking that they were doing service to God when there was no God to do service to. They lived according to their senses. They were just whatever they felt like doing, they did. And so that was the way Gentiles naturally walked. So he says, you know, and the Ephesians were Gentiles. But so he says, no longer walk like Gentiles walk, like the natural person walks, in the futility of their mind. Futility means emptiness. If your doctor does a brain scan and doesn't find anything, that's an empty head. We talk about people not having a brain. Well, in this case, it means that the things that come out of the brain are futile. They are vain, empty. And yet, remember, the way that seems right unto a man, it doesn't look like futility. It looks like wisdom. People today are wise. They are, in the things that they do and the things that they say, they are wise in their own minds. They pat themselves on the back. And how progressive we are. How far we've come. And it's a spiritual problem. Their brain functions. They can learn. They can form opinions. They can make proposals to do this or that. The diagnosis of the Lord is futility. What they plan to gain by the natural mind is vain. It cannot be accomplished. It is futile. When you're talking to someone and they just, you get to a point where they're not understanding, and you get to the understanding in yourself that they're not going to, then it's futility to speak much more. You got to pray the Lord would do something to their minds. But just saying it and believing it and broadcasting it all over the world doesn't make anything better. We attacked poverty way back, and it's not gone. There is a limit, and men have a great limit to what they can do, but yet they don't know, because there's futility there, there's emptiness there, there's vanity there. Verse 18, being darkened in their understanding. Darkened, of course, is a figurative word, meaning that we don't know where we're going, we can't see what we're doing, we don't have guidance from our minds. If your mind is darkened, you are at the core darkened. If you can't perceive, a blind person doesn't have a window for light to come in. Therefore, his life is lived in blindness. A darkened mind is unable to see the light of the Lord, unable to see reality. It's like I try not to do this anymore, but you turn a light off at night and figure you can see where you're going. I'll just walk straight there from where I am. And sometimes you run into something. Like I ran into something in my leg. That was in the daylight, though. You can't see where you're going. The Bible is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. That's again, using that figure, that if you're going to know and understand your way, you have to know the Word of God. You have to have the light of the Scripture. People saying the things they do, all the people in Hollywood saying the things they do, all the people in Washington saying the things they do, all the people in the school system saying the things they do, all your friends saying the things they do, there's a spiritual problem. There's darkened understanding. And we're very gullible to it. Because if our understanding is darkened, it means basically, that you'll take anything in because your understanding is not sharp so that you can properly collate it and organize it and understand it. Excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Is it me? Or is he just called already the people in the world futile, darkened, and ignorant? Those are fighting words. Especially since the ignorant ones are the people who don't agree with the world system. We're the ignorant ones. It's just, I mean, it's so easy to get illustrations here. It's almost embarrassing in our day. They still don't realize in the world. The world still has not caught on that if a man wants to be a woman and play women's sports, that the man is going to absolutely kill the women because of the way we're made. And there's complete denial about it. Oh, no. The desire to be inclusive to that degree is just crazy. Why does it happen? And the women athletes in high school, they're not very happy about it. It's because they're darkened in their understanding. They're excluded from the life of God, so they don't have the standards God has. They don't have the understanding God gives because of the ignorance that is in them. We're ignorant not because we have a physical problem, but a spiritual problem. To be ignorant means you do not take information in. And it's because of hardness. The latter part of that verse, because of the hardness of your heart. You don't take it in. People want to be instructed, they take it in. If you want to learn about something and you're engaged in it, you take it in. But when spiritual things are mentioned, there's a hardness. Jesus. It was so hard when Jesus was ministering. Jesus could heal a person on the Sabbath day, make them walk, make them see something absolutely miraculous, and they were upset because he did it on the Sabbath day. They missed completely the fact that he did it. They don't get the whole teaching. What Jesus did, showing that he was a miracle worker, showing that he was divine, by the time of the cross, they were all against him. It didn't soak in. It was a hardness there. And we form certain prejudices, and we should have certain prejudices. Cindy came in this morning and had a message on her machine, her computer, about a problem. You know, you need to go to this place. I looked at it and I said, no, I don't think so. It comes up as a seemingly legitimate message on her MacBook. And I said, no, I don't think we'll do that. If you don't know that, if you don't have a suspicion of it, well, you just walk into it. So this is the problem that is fixed in the body of Christ. When we come to the Lord, our minds are open. We're not blind anymore. We're not ignorant because we have the most basic knowledge. We understand the Lord. We understand what the Lord likes. We understand what the law of the Lord is. We understand what the consequences are when we walk in darkness. We stumble and fall. All of that we know, but the world rejects it because they do not see the problem as being spiritual. And we know that because whenever there's a problem, they never seek spiritual wisdom. They always seek legislative solutions. Or some movement or some, whatever, save the tree thing that ends up killing the trees. Because there's a lack of a connection there. You don't even think about it. You have no even perception of it. I can't build a house. I could not square a house, make it where, you're ready to put the walls up. I couldn't make those 2x4s, that they put the walls up. I can't do that. I know some of you know how to build. Whatever you know about building, I don't know. It's just, summarize it that way. I can't do it. If I were to start learning how to build, every day would be something that I did not know. Oh, you can do that? Yeah. I could turn it the other way and probably do you some computer knowledge. that you might not know. But until you're educated, you don't know. So this is the condition. To be spiritually separated from God is not to be smart. It's not to be intellectual. It's not to be progressive. It's not to be better. It's to be worse. It's ignorant and hardness and futility and a lack of understanding. A darkness. Verse 19, they, having become callous, and that's another word for hardness, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. I don't know how a man without inspiration of the Holy Spirit could put so many descriptions of mankind in so few verses as he does right there and be right on. They are callous. If you work up calluses, and I understand David and Cindy would know about making calluses on the tips of their fingers to play the guitar so that, you know, they get calluses so that they're hard enough to push the strings down. It's got to be painful at first. But we get calluses. Calluses are harder places. The hearts of sinners are callous. And it's from practicing that which is opposed to God. And the more you do that, the more callous you get. The more, you know, your heart gets callous. Your heart's already hardened. It's callous, and they've given themselves over to sensuality. Sensuality means living by your senses. It's often taught, we speak of sexual perversions. That's not all that is. Sensuality is giving yourself and being guided by your senses. It's doing what is right in every man's eyes because there's no king. You're following your impulses. You're following your lust for pleasure. Whatever seems at the moment to be something enjoyable, then that's what is done. It leaves you open to destruction because we're wandering farther from the will of God and becoming addicted to it, and harder and more callous and more foolish. And our lives are more futile from it. But that's because you've decided to live according to your impulses. The person lives by their feelings. And feelings are one of the main ways people live today. You live by your feelings. What do you feel like? What do you feel like? How do you feel? That feeling is equal to what seems right. What seems right. There's a way that feels right. There's a way that seems right. You live by your senses. You pursue, as it says here, the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. One thing I've always wondered, and I have a suspicion about the accuracy of it. Why is everything that tastes good bad for you? You know, always have people that have this. We talked about grease earlier. Get me a greasy piece of fried chicken where you have to let it drip off of grease before you actually pull it over yourself or it'll drip on the table. Or greasy okra. I'm thinking back at my grandmother's kitchen right now. And all that, you know. The pork chops my mom made that she set she'd put in the oven, and it would, by later that night, would have snow all around it because the grease had lard, it had, you know, cooled off and solidified. You'd pull that pork chop out and left the place, and it was good. Why is it all bad? Why is fat bad for you? Why is sweets bad? Why is sugar bad? Sometimes they are, sometimes I don't think they are. But it doesn't seem that way. And when you know something is not good for you and you long for it, what happens? You know, they say that all that butter you pour on popcorn at the theater, not good for you. You know what that makes you want to do? Pour it on. Get every bit of it. You know, you stay there, you put it on, make sure it's on, and then you go eat it every drop you can. They say fat back is not good for you. Come on. If I ever go to a place like a restaurant that has a breakfast bar like Shoney's has sometime, and they've got fat back on, my plate looks like we just cleared the woods out and there's a bunch of limbs on the side of the road. It doesn't move me. The things that seem right, feel right, are practiced. Every kind of impurity. And not only practiced, but promoted. As I've said before, the world always wants conformity. They don't want to be thought of as separate. They want to be part of, they want you to be part of their world. You cannot just be impartial. You cannot be indifferent to the world. You must be fully for what they believe in and what they practice. You've got to be for homosexuality. You've got to be for same-sex marriage. You've got to be for transgender. You've got to be for all that. You can't just say, well, do your own thing. What does it matter to me? Just leave me out of it. That's not enough. You've got to be engaged. You can't say you don't believe in man-made climate change. You've got to believe in it. And you've got to do something about it. And this is the way the world pushes conformity. They latch on to the practice of every kind of impurity in the eyes of God, because that's a spiritual problem. Our sinfulness, our impurity, the things that are washed clean by the blood of Christ, these are the things that are pursued before Christ is known. With greediness. Greediness normally we think of as a money thing, but it is a desire to have more. You pursue every kind of impurity and you want more of it. You cannot in the world as a spiritually darkened person with a futile mind who does not know about God's standards, who is ignorant because of his lack of knowledge of that and the hardness of his heart. You can never be satisfied with just that. You got to have more. And so we got to be not just wicked, but we got to be more wicked. That's why in some places you hear that there are some places that have more sin rampant than other places. Sodom and Gomorrah had more sin there than other places. They were set aside by God for judgment. They had more sin there. There are places in our country you've got more sin in because the pursuit of immorality, the pursuit of impurity has gone on unchecked. And there is a voracious appetite for impurity. You give the world impurity, they're interested. And they will go for it with all of the gusto they have. You see, that is the problem that people deal with. We're not pure and smart and wise and just we go our own way from all being equal. We all start equal. We all start sinful. We're all born in sin. See, this is the nature of all Gentiles. This is the nature of all people who don't know God. They're left to themselves. They just seemed right. How many things seem right or approved by society? Who lists them as very wise and good? that are completely wrong. And people are living in a swamp of sin. That's the problem. That's what the gospel brings light to. It's no wonder the world is in such a mess. From the description here we have of Paul, of the darkened mind. You wouldn't be surprised if a blind person went into the business of defusing bombs. You wouldn't be surprised if that didn't work out, because he can't see. Some blind people can do some very amazing things, but you wouldn't be surprised if a blind person was a cross-country runner through the trees and the hills, and he fell down and ran into some trees. You wouldn't be surprised at that. Well, that's our world. A lust for impurity they can't get enough of. But as a Christian, as he says further, I'm stopping, but you did not learn Christ in this way. When our eyes are open, we're truly woke by the Lord, our lives are different. But that's why the ignorance abounds that we have today. Let's all stand. Mike, would you dismiss us?